This is Agriculture Today.
University of Georgia ag economist Cesar Escalante says rising adverse effect wage rates are driving affordability concerns in the H-2A guest farm worker program. These are set annually using USDA's Farm Labor Survey and are meant to ensure foreign workers earn fair pay without depressing domestic wages. That 2025 national adverse effect wage rate, $17.74 per hour. It's nearly 18% higher than the 2022 levels and well above the long-term average growth rate of 3.5%. Beyond hourly wages, H-2A employers must cover housing, transportation, meals, and insurance. And Escalante notes about a 5% premium is added to labor cost. Critics argue the system often produces abrupt wage spikes and does not fully reflect local labor conditions. But even so, his analysis suggests H-2A labor remains cost competitive compared with domestic hiring, especially when fringe benefit offsets are included. But separately, the Trump administration proposing a $100,000 fee per H-1B visa. Escalante warns that rising costs and new visa fees highlight how immigration policy changes could reshape the labor supply for American farms. Well, cotton producers urge to contact their local farm service agency as the September 30th deadline approaches for program enrollment. Recent changes to the Stacked Income Protection Program, ag risk coverage, and price loss coverage programs stem from the One Big Beautiful Bill signed into law on July 4th. It updated reference prices for the 2025 crop year. Now, normally, farmers choosing stacks were ineligible for ARC or PLC. But USDA acknowledges many may have chosen PLC had they known about the updated reference prices. The agency allowing late enrollment in PLC though acres switched out of stacks remain subject to a penalty equal to 60% of the premium since acreage reports can't be revised. But producers enrolling seed cotton acres in PLC or ARC by September 30th will forfeit stacks payments. USDA expects PLC payments for 2025 next fall, while stacks payments will be announced in the summer of 2026. One of the biggest threats to farm succession is the federal estate or death tax. And without recent changes, many family operations would have faced significant tax burdens when passing land and equipment to the next generation. The One Big Beautiful Bill, again passed in July, permanently increased the unified credit to $15 million per individual beginning next year, indexed to inflation. That compares with about $7 million under prior law. That's a level that could have forced many farm families to sell assets just to pay tax bills. Rusty Rumley is senior staff attorney. National Ag Law Center says the higher credit and portability provisions for married couples mean most farms will avoid immediate estate tax exposure. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Corn exports are on fire once again. We continue to see big sales of U.S. corn going overseas, out of the country anyway.
Artland Suderman is Senior Commodity Analyst with StoneX.
Over the last three business days, we've had announcements from USDA and a flash reporting system of over 25 million bushels of corn being sold to Mexico and to unknown destinations. And the unknown destinations, there's a good chance that that's in Mexico as well, but there are also other customers also using that unknown destinations. If we look at world corn production versus world corn demand, we continue to see strong demand overall over the last decade that's been exceeding production, and that continues to be the case. 10 years ago, we saw the world surplus supplies of corn at nearly a third of annual usage, 32% to be precise. Now it's dropping below 22% and continuing to drop.
We can't ignore the lack of Chinese business.
What's anchoring it today and creating some problems for it, there's a twofold story. First of all, soybeans. When President Trump and President Xi released their statements on Friday following their lengthy phone call, no mention of any discussion about agricultural commodities. That was kind of a wake-up call for the market, and I've been talking about that risk for some days now, of the market finally realizing we may not sell any soybeans to China. Now, it may still happen. We estimate that China still has unfilled needs between now and January of about 12 million metric tons, but that's assuming that we actually get a deal for them to make purchases. And the expectation was on Friday that we would see President Trump travel to Beijing, connected with his trip to Seoul at the end of October for the APEC meeting, then go to Beijing. And so without an agreement, without any progress on an agreement, which it appears they made no progress other than talking about TikTok, and there's even a disparity on the reports on whether there was an agreement on that or not. But it looks like we could be well into late this year before we get an agreement, if we get an agreement then. President Trump has now moved his trip to Beijing until early next year. Does that mean no agreement until then? Not necessarily, but it's not very promising. And then you add on to that this morning, decision was actually made yesterday, but this morning, Argentina announced that it was going to suspend export taxes, or the need to withhold export taxes from grain exports through October 31, or until $7 billion had been achieved, whichever comes first. The purpose of this is to raise foreign exchange, to build their foreign exchange reserves with dollars so that they can meet their dollar-denominated debt obligations. And so this is expected to create a surge of export supplies of soybean, soy oil, soy meal, corn, and wheat. Now, what does it mean to the price of soybeans? It reduces the price of Argentine soybeans by about $3 a bushel, corn about 50 cents a bushel. So that will compete with U.S. supplies on the world market, particularly over the next 30 days or so. It looks like maybe a little longer, maybe closer to 38 days, 39 days, something like that. So that is weighing on the markets this morning. Corn export demand remains strong globally in the United States. Soybean demand is not, with the delays in getting any clarity on the biofuel program and with a lack of a trade agreement with Argentina.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
You know, I think across the board, just top to bottom, from South Dakota to South Texas, I think we're looking at a great crop. Obviously, South Texas is already harvested.
Craig Meeker is a Kansas producer and past chairman of the National Sorghum Producers.
In my specific neck of the woods, we've cut some early sorghum, and a couple of my neighbors have set all-time records on their farm for bushels to the acre. With this sorghum crop of anything they've ever had on their farm before. So a tremendous looking crop, and going to have to find a lot of places to go with it. We're a tremendous crop for sure.
On trade concerns.
You know, we're very concerned at National Sorghum Producers about what's going on with Brazil and China, and how they've kind of gained and grasped a lot of market access of other commodities over time as well. And, the United States sorghum growers have been the best supplier of sorghum to China for 15 years. And we have done an incredible job of working with our Chinese buyers, working with administrations, multiple administrations, and making sure that we could export a lot of sorghum to China. And we're concerned, but is a task and a challenge that we won't back down from, and we will meet it head on. If China and Brazil are concerning, but there's a lot of other trade opportunities out there as well.
With China the main buyer, how does the industry replace it?
You know, from a local standpoint or from a domestic standpoint, domestic produced biofuels, that is a tremendous opportunity, and getting more ethanol plants to utilize grain sorghum as their feedstock of choice, and dairies and other animal feeding operations using sorghum in their ration. That's a great way to increase demand for the product, for grain sorghum. However, National Sorghum Producers is working diligently with other organizations, and especially the administration, U.S. Trade Representative's Office, and others, USDA, to work and find other options as well. So multiple trips have been taken to India to foster and facilitate a market in India. And obviously that's going through trade negotiations as well. But Vietnam, other Southeast Asia countries that can utilize grain sorghum, that, you know, there is definitely work that's being done and has been being done, but definitely are excited and I guess maybe excited is not the right word, but the best word maybe is anxious to get a China opportunity again. We'd love to see something that looks like the phase two agreement, you know, something along the lines of the phase two agreement from a Trump one administration with China.
What can growers do?
Producers need to tell their story. They need to interact and engage with their legislators, with their senators, with their congressmen and women. They need to make sure that they know what's going on. They need to know what your struggles are. They need to know that your input costs are high. They need to know that your cash receipts are low because of where prices are at because of trade. You need to encourage them to support the administration and USTR and others to make sure that we get good, positive trade deals done for rural America. When farmers succeed, rural America and rural communities succeed. And if I don't have a community that my kids get to be a part of here in Wellington, Kansas, it doesn't do me a whole lot of good to get to farm, because if my family can't be here, I'm really not very good. So we understand at National Sorghum Producers, good policy for farmers is good policy for rural America and our rural communities, and we strive to make sure that those things are happening.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Agriculture Today.
This was a war that should have never happened.
President Donald Trump speaking Tuesday at the United Nations.
It shows you what leadership is, what bad leadership can do to a country. Look what happened to the United States. And look where we are right now in just a short period of time. The only question now is how many more lives will be needlessly lost on both sides. China and India are the primary funders of the ongoing war by continuing to purchase Russian oil. But inexcusably, even NATO countries have not cut off much Russian energy and Russian energy products, which, as you know, I found out about 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't happy. Think of it. They're funding the war against themselves. Who the hell ever heard of that one? In the event that Russia is not ready to make a deal to end the war, then the United States is fully prepared to impose a very strong round of powerful tariffs, which would stop the bloodshed, I believe, very quickly. But for those tariffs to be effective, European nations, all of you are gathered here right now, would have to join us in adopting the exact same measures. I mean, you're much closer to the city. We have an ocean in between. You're right there. And Europe has to step it up. They can't be doing what they're doing. They're buying oil and gas from Russia while they're fighting Russia. It's embarrassing to them. And it was very embarrassing to them when I found out about it, I can tell you that. They have to immediately cease all energy purchases from Russia. Otherwise, we're all wasting a lot of time. So I'm ready to discuss this. We're going to discuss it today with the European nations, all gathered here. I'm sure they're thrilled to hear me speak about it, but that's the way it is. I like to speak my mind and speak the truth. As we seek to reduce the threat of dangerous weapons today, I'm also calling on every nation to join us in ending the development of biological weapons once and for all. And biological is terrible, and nuclear is even beyond, and we include nuclear in that. We want to have a cessation of the development of nuclear weapons. We know, and I know, and I get to view it all the time. Sir, would you like to see? And I look at weapons that are so powerful that we just can't ever use them. If we ever use them, the world literally might come to an end. There would be no United Nations to be talking about. There would be no nothing. Just a few years ago, reckless experiments overseas gave us a devastating global pandemic. Yet despite that worldwide catastrophe, many countries are continuing extremely risky research into bioweapons and man-made pathogens. This is unbelievably dangerous. To prevent potential disasters, I'm announcing today that my administration will lead an international effort to enforce biological weapons convention, which is going to be meeting with the top leaders of the world by pioneering an AI verification system that everyone can trust. Hopefully the UN can play a constructive role, and it will also go be one of the early projects under AI. Let's see how good it is, because a lot of people are saying it could be one of the great things ever, but it also can be dangerous, but it could be put to tremendous use and tremendous good, and this would be an example of that. Not only is the UN not solving the problems it should too often, it's actually creating new problems for us to solve. The best example is the number one political issue of our time, the crisis of uncontrolled migration. It's uncontrolled. Your countries are being ruined.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Yeah, so this is kind of that monthly report that we get. And, you know, by and large, I think this September cattle on feed report was largely considered somewhat neutral, kind of within expectations that we were kind of expecting.
Tyler Cousins is with the Livestock Marketing Information Center, takes a look at the recent cattle on feed report.
Still bears some discussion here because I think there's some key things to kind of tease out of this. So we'll kind of get into some of this discussion here and kind of highlight some things from the report, but also discuss some of their pre-report estimates. So kind of starting off with some big picture discussion of the cattle on feed as of September 1. The report showed cattle on feed was actually down 1.1% or about 118,000 head to nearly 11.1 million head. Actually, pre-report estimates, you know, on average, analysts were expecting cattle on feed to be down from a year ago, with estimates ranging from down about 1.3 to about 0.3%, with an average estimate of down 0.9% or about 101,000 head, which is right in line with that what we actually saw from the report. The estimated decline in cattle on feed was largely not unexpected and fell in line with reports like I noted there. But, you know, it highlights the trend that we've been seeing in lower cattle supplies in feedlots, which has been occurring since actually about December 2024. Looking a little bit further into the report, fed cattle marketings in August, those were actually just under 1.6 million head, which was a decrease of about 13.6% or 248,000 head. August fed cattle marketing of nearly 1.6 million head. It actually marks the lowest level of fed cattle marketings for the month of August on record. This is even below the dip to 1.5, almost 1.6 million head that was seen about a decade ago. And so actually, you know, kind of looking at pre-report estimates, analysts were expecting this decline with declines ranging from about 12.4 to about 3.5% with an average decline of about 12.9% or 235,000 head. So largely this fell kind of in line with pre-report expectations for fed cattle marketings, but it was actually a little bit larger than analysts were expecting. But some of the decline that it can be noted as far as fed cattle marketings, it was actually due to one less slaughter day, but still a pretty substantial decline there. So it is noteworthy, this decline in fed cattle marketings, and it also bears watching here in the coming months here to see if this trend continues, to see these marketing levels trend below kind of these historical levels that we've been seeing. Now, switching over to some of the cattle placement discussion here, in August, cattle placements were down 9.9% or 196,000 head to nearly 1.8 million head there in August. This fell within the range of pre-report estimates for cattle placements in August. Analysts were expecting placements to be down about 11 to about 6.5% from a year ago. Average pre-report estimate was expecting placements down about 9%, so fairly close to the actual number there. The decrease in cattle placements in August to 1.8 million head ranks as the lowest number placed in August, actually dating back to 2015 when it actually dipped to about 1.6 million head. So we're kind of seeing a theme here of some of these, the cattle on feed report statistics kind of dating back to what we saw about a decade ago.
The cattle on feed report has been affected by the lack of Mexican feeders.
Looking a little closer at cattle imports from Mexico, just a quick update there. Year-to-date through July, cattle imports from Mexico are down 73%, or that's about 625,000 head. So those lower cattle imports from Mexico are a contributing factor into the lower placement numbers. This also then kind of flows into a factor in the lower market-ready fed cattle supplies that we're seeing and just those lower marketings that we've been seeing for the last several months here.
It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
For the 2026 crop year, a new crop insurance endorsement called the Margin Coverage Option, or MCO, is available.
Nick Paulson's an ag economist at the University of Illinois.
MCO is an area-based product protecting against operating margin declines driven by falling output prices, area yield losses, and or rising input costs. In Illinois, corn and soybeans are eligible for MCO coverage in 2026. The sales closing date for MCO for the 2026 crop year is September 30th, 2025. MCO offers coverage on an expected operating margin, which is the difference between measures of crop revenue and a cost index covering a limited set of inputs. MCO's revenue component is based on the same county yields that are used for other county or area-based products, such as the supplemental and enhanced coverage option programs, and futures prices for the crop being insured. What is included in MCO's cost component varies by crop. For corn, the cost index includes urea, diammonium phosphate, or DAP, and potash fertilizers, along with diesel fuel. For soybeans, DAP, potash, and diesel fuel are included. Potash costs are based on a formula that uses urea, DAP, and natural gas prices. Futures prices for urea, DAP, and natural gas are used with predetermined quantities of the inputs that vary with yield for the covered crop to construct the cost index portion of the MCO margin guarantee. Similar to existing federal products, projected prices and the projected margin are set based on futures settlement prices during a price discovery period. For MCO, the discovery period is August 15th to September 14th. Final or harvest prices are set during a harvest discovery period. For the futures impacting the cost portion of the MCO margin guarantee, the harvest discovery period occurs during April. The discovery period for the harvest price for corn or soybeans is October. May futures contracts are the basis for prices for the inputs, and the December and November contracts are used for corn and soybean prices. For corn and soybeans, producers have the choice between two coverage levels for MCO, either 95% or 90%. In either case, the coverage band extends from the coverage level down to 86% of the guaranteed margin. Producers can also elect a protection factor with options ranging from 50% to 100%. MCO payments can be triggered by sufficient declines in the calculated margin that are driven by crop price declines, area yield losses, and or increases in the cost component driven by input price increases that might occur during the coverage period. Thus, MCO provides coverage against declines in the projected margin based on futures price changes for the insured crop from late summer of the previous crop year through the crop's harvest period, deviations of area yield from expected trend yield estimates for the crop year, and futures price changes for the included fertilizer and fuel inputs from late summer of the previous year to the spring of the crop year being covered. For 2026, this means projected prices were set in August 2025. MCO purchase decisions must be made by the end of September 2025. The final harvest prices from input futures that impact the cost portion of MCO are determined in April of 2026. And the final harvest prices for corn and soybeans are set in October of 2026. Finally, payments, if they are triggered for MCO coverage, will not be determined and paid until June or July in the summer of 2027 after final county yields are released for the 2026 crop year.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
When you raise dryland cotton, one of the only things you control is input costs. Reduce your seed costs by as much as 75% without sacrificing yield potential with BSD 9X cotton from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Perfectly adapted for dryland acres, BSD 9X is large seed and has excellent early season vigor and consistently yields at the top in university trials. Find out about BSD 9X by calling 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.